two sets of messengers of, in Hebrew, malachim. There were those ascending and those descending. Some believe that one group remained with Jacob in Canaan, so they were assigned to him when he was in Canaan, while other group will follow him when he was outside Canaan. And there was also a group of angels when he was returning, Genesis 32:1-2. Two groups. He had to call the place, name it two camps, because of the fact that he had the angels on his own camp. Another interpretation is that Jacob, and I don't know how really they got to this one, that Jacob saw four angels, each representing one of the kingdoms that would later oppress Israel. And by that we mean Babylon. Again, I have the game there. Just leave it there. Babylon, Media, Greece, and Rome. And the numbers of steps they walked indicated the time these kingdoms will oppress Israel. The latter, and next interpretation is that the latter and the angels represent the lower and the spiritual world, in Hebrew the Yetzirah, that exists among us, the material things, and the higher spiritual world, the Beriah. Let's see if I'm saying that right. Beriah. Gerardo. All right. The heavens above. So there's a connection. And again, this is about two of about 20-something things that you're going to find in Google if you go to the latter. This is the one that appealed to me the most. However, I don't know. It seems like all the angels are Anglo. I don't see anybody there that looks a little more like me, a Puerto Rican or a Gerardo or like Sergio or like a Jew. They're Anglos. The ones here, I always had to struggle with the fact that how would the angels need to climb a ladder having wings? They just can fly. So to me, I got the feeling the angels or the messengers were more like these, without wings. If you go back to, well, no back, you have to go forward to the book of Judges, you will find interesting that many of the judges did not recognize they were talking to God or to the angel or the messenger of the Lord, because the angels will appear like you and I. And after they got the message, they, I realize this is Elohim. This is the God Almighty. And many of them would say, I'm going to die now because I saw God face to face. Believing that, again, that comes from Torah and Genesis and Moses. So anyway, I think that what Jacob was looking at was very similar to this. And when he was laying down, again, this is just different portrays of what our artists would put together. One thing for sure, Jacob was not used to sleep outside. You know that all this time, before he left this trip, he was a man of the tents. It was known that he was always in the tents. His brother was always hunting and was cunning, but he was in the tents. And according to the rabbis in Talmud, he was there studying the scriptures. He was studying the teachings. He was learning Torah. So he wasn't used to things outside, and he goes out there and gets his camping backpack. Again, he didn't have any camels. I bet you if he had taken camels, he probably would have slept in the camels. But he's just walking, and he realizes, I need to find a place to sleep. And according to the rabbis, the day became shorter because the Lord wanted him to stop at a particular place. And that particular place, we found later in the Torah, that was the place where his grandfather Abraham took Isaac to be sacrificed. And God wanted to make a point. I want to bring you here. And that's, again, what the rabbis tell us. And most likely, these stones and everything else was very close to that area. So, again, just kind of give you a little picture of what's going on. Another thing is some of the details in the parasha. And I probably got ahead of myself, but in 28, and I'm going to use four of them. Genesis 28, 11, Jacob stopped to sleep because the sun set. I already covered that. And this was not a normal sunset, but initiated by God, causing him to stop at that place. If you look in Hebrew, you look at your Bible, it says, stop at the place. It was something specific that God wanted him to find. A preselected by God himself near Moriah, which later became the area associated with Solomon's temple. And keep these details in mind, because when we keep developing this, all this is going to fit together like a puzzle. In Jacob 28:18, Jacob takes the rock he used as a pillow and places it as a pillar and anoints it. In other words, anoints it. He pours olive oil on it. What is the meaning of anoint? You remember? To anoint is to set aside for a particular purpose. Moses asked the Levites and Aaron to cover with oil every of the utensils that were supposed to be used in the tabernacle. Why? Because they cannot be used to grill steak at home. They were supposed to be used in the tabernacle only. And if you were to take those things out to use it for something else, believe me, Daddy in heaven would not like that. It was a special thing. That's why down the road, if you remember, a Chaldean king had a major problem. Because they use the utensils, the cups, things for the temple for something else. Anyway, chapter 29, verse 25 says that Laban, it talks about Laban's deception. Jacob married Leah, now Rachel, that was first promised to him. This couldn't have been pulled off without the knowledge of the two sisters. But how was deception part a God's plan? That's another detail there. One thing seems to be clear, however, as we go through all the events, Jacob's relationship with God seems to begin to turn around, has a turning point with this dream. Here, God reminds him that the promises made to Abraham and Isaac will continue through him. That God will always be with him. In other words, just because you're leaving Canaan and going to cross over, God is telling him, I'm going to be there with you. According to some rabbis, Talmud, Jacob was living a very pleasant, very nice comfort zone. And as he was stepping out to Haran, he was going to experience serious, serious problems. And that anointing of oil means that he would have to be pressed like olive so that God would get the best of him. So when he returns, he is in a higher level of understanding in a relationship with God. Again, I'm just telling you something where I says that. To me, it makes sense. It is after this dream that Jacob proclaims something that he may have not quite understood when he said it. He called the place Beth El, the house of God. A gate, a place between God and humanity. Let us concentrate on a few verses to see what we learn. And I'm going to go to Genesis 28, verse 12. And that reads, I don't know if I put that in there or not, in the PowerPoint. Jacob had a dream of a ladder which was set up on the earth with its top reaching heaven. And then Malachim, again, the messengers of God, were ascending and descending. And again, there's a purpose why we had this ascending first and descending later. We're going to really find what is interesting about that. According to Sarna, 1989, the word that is used there for ladder is the word sulam. Sulam, the first thing that struck me when I was looking at the concordance for this was a sulam appears in the whole scriptures only once. The way it's spelled there, only once. That to me is like, whoa, what is going on here? This is the correct spelling. This is the spelling that we have. And again, it's pronounced Solam. What happens is that kibbutz, bow a point, and those Hebrew scholars here, correct me if I'm wrong. What happens is that the vav that is here is removed. You see that it's missing here? But still, when you put the kibbutz, bow a point under it, that samach then takes the sound zu, and then you have sulam. Without the vowel. So that's where we get that word. In the year 1269, Rabbi Jacob ben Rash, known as Baal Haturim, he said that the sulam, this word is spelled in a defective way, defectively. Instead of the whole spelling is spelled that way as I explained. And that means that the word should, the word it says, should be understood to take a diminished meaning as opposed to the full expression of the world or at the highest spiritual level. In other words, sulam is not, in this particular passage, doesn't have that grandiose spiritual completeness in the Hebrew that you have, but it's diminished. I want you to think about that because it's very important as we go through this, how this relates to the message. Diminish the uniqueness of that word, the word that was diminished, the fact that it became lower. I had a comment here from a scholar that said that in the Akkadian language, I found it, the word Samech, Lamech, Lamed would most likely be related to steps, or it could also have been a ramp. So now we are having an issue here. It could be steps. It could be a ramp. But the issue to remember is that it was a way. It was a point of connection. I find out later that the rabbis in the Talmud believe that this ladder of this connection goes all the way to the highest heavens, but also go down to the lowest of the earth. To appreciate the meaning of the ladder in Jacob's dream, let me quote a couple of things. Most rabbis interpret this dream in terms of the parallels of these to Sinai. Set on the earth parallels Sinai when he says that they stood at the foot of the mountain. And the top reaching to heaven parallels, and the mountain was ablaze with fire reaching to the heart of heavens. Again, this is very important because now we're having reference to when the Torah, the word, was given. And we have a reference here to Moses, who many of, if you go to the Talmud, they will tell you that Moses was the first Messiah. Think about that. Digest it for a minute. Something I found interesting, the sages says that events in the father's lives are signs for the future of their children. Accordingly, Jacob's descendants experienced this latter as they stood on Mount Sinai, as they met the Almighty in the desert. Sinai symbolized a connection, a link at the foot of the mountain where they stood, if you remember, because they were afraid of coming up to God's heaven. For generations, Sinai and the acceptance of the Torah serves as a bridge between man, humanity, and the heights. All right, cool. I also found very interesting that Ba'al HaTurim, the same guy that we, a scholar, Hebrew scholar that we quoted before, he knows that the gematria, now that's a big word, gematria, sounds like geometria in Espanol. The numeric value of the Hebrew letters for Sulam is the same as that for the word the wealth, that spells wealth and poverty. This is another thing to think about. Or also the world sound or voice. And that Sulam and Sinai share the same numeric value of 130. That's very interesting to me. Just the parallel and the things that, how the Lord set things up in the Hebrew, when you start looking at it, is amazing. To me, and to many, that Sulam and these details that I mentioned just before, and so many that I'm missing, I'm not discussing, no doubt they point to one of Torah's most expected climax, Messiah. When you put it all together, it points to Messiah, Mashiach. How do I get to that conclusion? For one thing, the anointing of the rock where Jacob rested is the first anointing ceremony, like I mentioned, in the Torah. This points to the Messiah, the one that was set aside. The Midrash, which is the body of the excesses of the Torah, says that Jacob anointed the stone to indicate that his descendants would be anointed or set aside for priesthood and kinship. I see those roles as typical roles of the Messiah. Now, what do we find in the Messianic writings to put this together? In Yohanan chapter 1, verse 43, we have one of the first experiences of Yeshua beginning to gather disciples. And I read verse 43 from the complete Jewish Bible, Stern's Bible. The next day, having decided to leave for the Galilee, Yeshua found Philip and said, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Cephas lived. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one that Moshe wrote about in the Torah, also in the prophets. It is Yeshua ben Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael answered, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Come and see, Philip said. Yeshua saw Nathan coming towards him and said about him, "Here is a true son of Israel." I find it interesting. He didn't use Jacob, but said, "True son of Israel." There is nothing false in him, referring to Philip, to Nathanael, excuse me. Nathanael, a little puzzled about what the Lord said to him. "How do you know me?" he said. Yeshua then answered, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree. There, I saw you." Then Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Notice something very interesting here. Look at the play of words here. "You are the Son of God above. You are the King of Israel below." I make reference to what I mentioned before about the ladder connecting the above and the lower. You see that right there? It seems like that Nathanael was beginning to get the picture. Yeshua answered to him, "You believe this because I told you that I saw you under a fig tree?" I wish many people would believe so easy. "You will see greater things than that." Then he looked at him and said, "Yes, indeed, I tell you that you will see heavens open and the angels of God going up and coming down on the Son of Man." See the picture? I can imagine Jacob trying to figure this out. What is the meaning of this? Note that the words Yeshua quoted, the word "angels of God going up and coming down on the Son of Man." "On" in the Hebrew could mean "because of." This is something that we must consider to understand that what he tells Nathanael. He pretty much said, "Heaven opens. Angels of God going up and down, coming down. This is all because of me. This is because of Yeshua." In Jacob's dream, the ramp that stretches from heaven to earth is nothing but a point to the Messiah. So it is not about man's attempt to reach God. To do that would be like Babel, like building a tower. And eventually judgment is going to fall because we are not doing it right. So this is not about man trying to reach out to God. This is a ladder where God is extending a bridge from heaven to reach out to all of us. Now, who goes up and down? Yes, we have read that the messengers, the malachim, go up and down carrying out God's purposes. But the same was true for Messiah, and it is true for Messiah, because he was carrying out the purpose of the Father when he came down. All right? Now, why can we say this? Let's take a look at Yohanan chapter 3. A very familiar passage. Verse 13. This is Yeshua having a secret conversation in the night with someone called Nicodemus. And we read 3:13. "No one has gone up into heaven. There is only the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Have you ever, guys, picked up a ladder? You got to very carefully come up and lift it and put it up. That's what comes to me. So that, if you get the picture, Yeshua had to be lifted up to become that connection. And he said, again, just as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so everyone who trusts in him, and this is Yeshua talking, of course it's in John, but it's Yeshua talking, the Son of the living God, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed. Here Yeshua told Nicodemus that no one can ascend to heaven who has not first descended from heaven. There's no other way. God has to come down himself to get us. We cannot make it up there. It doesn't matter how many rockets or how many satellites we send up there. It's not going to happen. There is no way for man to reach up to God. The one who ascends to the lower realm of man is the Son of Man. He is the true way, the true ramp or ladder from above who comes down. He, Yeshua, is the Sulam for all of us. See, none of us, none is able to ascend or climb to the Father to restore fellowship to him. No doubt the meaning of rich and poor, which I mentioned before, that the sages gave to ladder must refer to the Messiah, who regardless, he pretty much, regardless his wealth, he became poor, diminished, like the word Sulam. He became diminished in order to reach us. You see how the word was had to be put that way? When Moses was writing this, God told Moses, this is how I want you to spell this. Because it's pointing out to Messiah. The one that was out there with all the glory, with all the fullness, but now was diminished to reach you and I. Okay? The parallel of Sinai and Sulam having the same numeric value points to the similarity of the ladder, a way to God, and his living world, the one who, like Moses, would be the prophet who intercedes and teach his people. That was Messiah. The fact that the Sulam is found once in the whole scripture points out to Yeshua, the offspring of Jacob, the only one that was set aside like the rock from the beginning of times to bring God and humanity together. You see the beauty when you read the passage? I remember studying in seminary and it went from here to here. I didn't get it. The rock that Jacob poured oil on became a contact point, one that he returned to when his name was changed. And as I mentioned before, this anointing is the first anointed, the first pouring of oil that is mentioned in Torah. It was set aside, like that rock was set aside for Jacob to come back And then remember the promise that was made to him. This rock is found in the area of Moriah, like I mentioned before, where Abraham took Isaac to be sacrificed. The same place where the temple site was found, the same site of the sacrifices, and the same site of the ultimate and greatest sacrifice for you and me. Isn't that beautiful or what? All the way back there. All the way back there. All the details, as I mentioned, point to the anointed Mashiach. After all, what is the meaning of Mashiach? Anointed. The one that is set aside. The true connection between the Yetzirah and the Veriah. The earth and the heavens. The high and the below. What else shall we say? To close, this dream The moment arrived for Jacob, where it became clear to him that it was not about his deception or his methods, but it was about God's promise to Abraham, the God's promises to Isaac, and now his promise that were passed down to him. This is a picture of the way, the one, the only one that Yehovah Hay would anoint and set aside to restore his descendants, the people of Israel, and the humanity. Through the one who descends, we will get to be lifted. Again, the elements of this passage, the ladder, the angels, the location, the rock, Jacob's actions, and many number of things point to Mashiach. Yeshua makes it very clear. There is only one way to restore fellowship with the Father. None. Without him, we're pretty much building towers of Babel over and over again. And it seems like many of us have not yet learned the lesson. Without him, we build methods of salvation. Without him, Yeshua, we build forms. We come up with formulas. We come up with dogmas. Without him, we plan strategies and programs to try to achieve the will of God when we have it right in front of us. So, think about this. What do you and me must do? The decision has always been and will be ours. If we accept the way to God, Yeshua, and surrender to him, then we are certain that we have a ladder all the way to the Father. Hallelujah. Oksana, do you have anything, any worship prepared for this after that? Let us stand and let us pray. If you are here today and you had an idea that you had it figured out, that you know how to get up there, just remember, it's not what you think, is not your religion, it's not how you grew up, it's not your family, it's not about being Jewish or Gentile. It's about realizing that God set up something in motion. Even the foundation of creation, actually Messiah, according to the Talmud and many sages, before the world was created, the name of the Messiah was created. The one that was the anointed one, the one that selected, that was selected for you and I to get access to heaven, was picked by God Himself. If you're not sure, how is your relationship with the Father? That ladder is right here, right now. You don't have to make anything. You don't have to make the effort to step up. The ladder is right here. The way, the ramp that leads to heaven, to our home, which is our true home, to the garden, to Abba, it's right here. The only thing you need to do is let Him know. Let Him know. If you need prayer, we got prayer ministers here. Hallelujah. We'll pray. We'll be glad to pray with you. If you feel like you need restoration or any type of prayer, do so too. We're here to pray for you. Hallelujah. 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 Good song. Hallelujah.